Well, what an incredible prayer. You may have noticed over the past several weeks, maybe even a month or two, we do have after service and after service prayer team. And so if there's anybody here that is needing prayer, and it doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with the sermon series that we're going through, but a lot of times in life we go through things and there's challenges and we need prayer, and so we do have a prayer team after the service every Sunday, and so just make that available if you can utilize that at some point. I too want to just open in a word of prayer as we begin our service this morning. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the gift of your word. And thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who empowers us. We are empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And so this morning, Father God, we invite you through the power and the person of your Holy Spirit indwelling us to teach us, to transform our lives, continue to transform our lives as we seek to become progressively more and more holy. So we thank you for the word this morning, your word. And Lord, we anticipate eagerly how you're going to speak through it to our hearts today. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. There are certain moments that change everything. A birth, a death, a diagnosis, or even a revelation. And for Peter, one of those moments was a mountaintop, a place where heaven broke through and he saw Jesus as Jesus truly is. Not just as a teacher, not just as a prophet, but the glorious Son of God. He never forgot it. That memory, that mountaintop experience was imprinted on his mind. And in a time when the truth was being twisted and false teachers were on the rise, that memory, that majesty of Jesus anchored him. It gave him boldness to speak, to proclaim the truth of God's word, and to stand firm, to stand strong. And so for you and I, what do we do when truth feels uncertain, when truth feels shaky or distorted, even hard to discern? When Jesus is treated as optional, Peter would tell us, he would say, hold on to what's real. What I saw with my own eyes and what God confirmed with his own voice, he would say to us, be rooted in what is real. Build your life on something that's unshakable. Build your life on the majesty of Jesus and the light of his word, because in a world full of darkness, the Bible is our lamp. The Bible is our light, illuminating the path. In a world of counterfeit, and in a world of counterfeit saviors, Jesus is still the one true king, the real king. Open your Bibles, if you have them today, open your Bibles to 2 Peter verses 1, and we're going to continue our series in 2 Peter. And I'm going to just be going through 2 Peter verses 1, chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on that holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So in a world full of opinions, speculation, and spiritual counterfeits, Peter doesn't ask us to take a blind leap of faith. He gives us three reasons, or three pillars, which we can stand on with confidence. The three pillars that we're going to look at this morning are the eyewitness testimony, the prophetic testimony, and the divine testimony. So let's look at the first pillar, the eyewitness testimony. So Peter is making a bold statement here. He's pushing back against the idea, both then and now, that Christianity is just another human religion that's built on myths or moral stories. It's in fact what they saw, what they heard, what they witnessed with their own eyes. Verse 16 says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." We saw it personally. We were there. In this Peter's second letter to the same people, Peter is addressing false teachers from inside the church. These people were trying to seduce believers to follow their opinions and their truths. They were making up their own religion, so to speak, and so they were deceiving and seducing the other congregants into following them. And they were, in fact, they were accusing Peter and the apostles of making myths about Christ and Christ's return. But Peter argues with them and he says, no. We saw Jesus transfigured, change in front of our very eyes. This isn't heresy. It's not religious imagination. Peter is referring to that transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 when he, James, and John saw Jesus transformed in glory on that mountain. They saw Jesus shining, radiating like the sun. And can you imagine? Picture this. They heard the audible voice of God declare in verse 5 of chapter 17, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That moment wasn't symbolic. It wasn't poetic. It was real. It was historical, supernatural, and eyewitnessed. And that's crucial, that's key, because one of the loudest objections, even in our culture today, is this: you can't know for sure what's true about God. Religion is just blind faith. It's not fact. But Peter would say, no. No, the gospel isn't a blind leap in the dark. It's a response to the light that we have seen. The foundation of the Christian faith is not wishful thinking, personal feelings, or second-hand traditions. It's divine revelation confirmed by these eyewitnesses. And Christianity doesn't start with an idea. It starts with an event. God stepping into human history in the person of Jesus Christ. And that matters. That matters because if your faith is based on fiction, it's going to collapse under pressure. It's going to collapse under hardship. But if it's based on the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done, it will stand strong. It will hold even in the fire. So the question is, whose voice or voices are shaping your view of truth? Eyewitnesses who saw Jesus revealed in glory, or cultural voices that rewrite truths to fit what feels comfortable for them? Peter has just reminded us that they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He saw Jesus in glory. He heard the Father's voice, the eyewitness testimonies. And it is a solid pillar to rest your faith on, to rest your beliefs on. The second pillar that we want to look at this morning is the prophetic testimony. Peter has just reminded us of the transfiguration where he saw Jesus in glory. He heard the Father's voice. But then he says something very interesting in verse 19. He says, "And we have the prophetic word, more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." When you look at this verse, at first glance, it might seem that Peter is saying Scripture is more reliable than what he and the other disciples saw on that mountain. But he's not making a comparison. He's making a connection. He's making a connection that the Word was already true. The Word is true, but now, having seen Christ's glory firsthand, Peter is testifying that everything that the prophets talked about, everything that the Old Testament prophets prophesied about, has been confirmed in the eyewitness testimony, seeing Jesus transformed on that mountain. What was spoken long ago has been brought into sharp focus through Christ. The light hasn't changed. But now Peter's able to see more clearly. Peter urges us. He says this. He says, "You will do well to pay attention." Why? Because life is dark. The culture around us is very confusing. And the Word of God is not an optional add-on. In fact, it's your only true source. It's your only true guide in this world that seems to be ever so much falling apart. His Word is like a lamp on a treacherous trail. It shows us, it reveals, it illuminates that next step. When everything else around you feels unstable and uncertain, God's Word anchors and directs and guides. Of course, Peter's audience didn't have the New Testament yet. So Peter is referring to the Old Testament scriptures and saying, pay attention to what God has already said in the scriptures. Today, I think we face that same temptation. Is the Bible actually real? It seems a little outdated. Don't we need some new voices for a new time? And Peter's answer is extremely clear here. He says, no. We do not need a new revelation. We need to listen to the one that we already have. The problem isn't the lack of truth. It's that we often ignore what's right in front of us. Sometimes we look more for what seems comfortable. Spurgeon is credited was saying this, and the reason I say it that way is because I cannot find the place where he actually said this, but he is credited with this. He says this, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. That's the danger that we face. Not just false teaching, not just blatant false teaching, but almost truths. Messages that sound good, they may really arouse our emotions. To a degree, that's okay. But they subtly pull us away from God's word. Not every passionate sermon or trending voice is biblically faithful. So let's not be people who just crave inspiration, but truth. Let's crave truth. Let's look for truth. Let's weigh everything against Scripture, the Word of God, and ask the Holy Spirit for his discernment. Think of it like this. Think of it, if you're hiking in the dark, and it's really dark, and it's a dark day, the moon is either covered by cloud or something, you're in a very dark place. And when the trail seems to get really dark and rough, you don't simply throw your flashlight away. That's when you cling to it. That's when you use it more dearly. That's when it becomes more dear to you, because you need it to expose what's in front of you, to expose the danger, what could be there. And if you've ever relied solely on Google Maps for directions, you've probably taken a few scenic sanctification routes. That's what I like to call them. Possibly adding hours to your trip or arriving at the wrong destination entirely. And it's weird. For some reason, I was thinking of Pastor Dan when I was writing that. I don't know why. Ask him about their recent trip. With love. But I've learned to check the addresses to verify the destination or the place that I want to go. I like to look at a map first and then use Google Maps as a tool, not as the sole guide. And that's Peter's point. We don't have to guess. We don't have to be left guessing our way through life. Don't just stumble your way forward on instinct or opinion. God has already spoken. His word is your light. And you and I, we will do well to pay attention to his word. The light, the lamp shining and illuminating the dark. And don't wait until you're lost to value the light. Don't trade truth for trends or clarity for comfort. God's word isn't an ancient relic. It's essential. It's your lamp. It's our light, your compass, your guide through the dark. Are you paying attention to the light? Or are you listening to the noise? There's lots of noise around us, isn't there? What carries more weight in your life? What God says, or what the world is screaming? We've seen that Scripture is a reliable light in a dark world. But the next question is, where does that light come from? How can we be sure that this book isn't just some human opinion or religious philosophy? What is it that makes it different from every other voice out there? And this leads us right into the third pillar, the divine testimony. Verse 20 and 21. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter is correcting a dangerous misunderstanding, one that's still very alive and well today. That the Bible is just human reflections about God. Oh, yes, it's quite sincere probably, but it's flawed and outdated. But Peter says the exact opposite. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Yes, human authors wrote the words. But behind those hands was the breath of God. And the result? The Bible isn't man's best guess about God. It's God's authoritative word to us. Now, you might be thinking, but didn't men write the Bible? Didn't men decide what books to include in the Bible? And yes, human authors wrote Scripture. But they weren't freelancing. As Peter says, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God spoke through their personalities, through their circumstances that they were living in at the very time. But the message came from God. And when it comes to the Bible's formation, the early church didn't just invent the canon, the Bible that we have today. They recognized it. They saw which writings were already being used, trusted, and confirmed by the apostles and the early believers. So the Bible that you and I have today, the Bible isn't just a man-made book. It's a God-breathed, Spirit-carried, Christ-centered word, and it bears the marks of divine origin to every generation. And this truth confronts a major issue in our culture. I like Jesus, but I'm not sure about the Bible. Or I follow the parts that feel relevant, but not all of it. But here's the problem. You can't trust Jesus and reject the word that testifies to him, about him. You can't follow Jesus and ignore the scriptures that he affirms and he fulfilled. To dismiss the Bible as outdated, as optional, is to reject the voice of the Holy Spirit who breathed it out. To receive it with faith is to align yourself with the heart and mind of God. We're not called to reshape Scripture to fit our culture. We're called to let Scripture reshape us, to transform us. We don't need new truth for a new generation. We need to rediscover what God has already spoken in his word. Peter's message is clear. The gospel isn't a myth. It's majesty. And it rests on solid ground. When everything else around you feels shaky and uncertain, there are these three unshakable pillars that you and I need to build our lives on. The eyewitness testimony of those who saw Jesus in glory. The prophetic testimony of Scripture confirmed and fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And the divine testimony of the Holy Spirit who carried along every word. So let me ask you this. What are you building your life on? Because in a world full of myths and noise and spiritual drift, you will be shaped by whatever you are rooted in. I want to repeat that. In a world full of myths, noise, and spiritual drift, you will be shaped by whatever you're rooted in. So if you're rooted in social media, you will be shaped by comparison. If you're rooted in fear or conspiracy, you'll be shaped by anxiety. But if you are rooted in God's word, in these three pillars of gospel credibility, you will be anchored in the truth. You'll be strengthened by God's grace. And you'll be steadied for the storm, for every storm. So how do we live this out? How do we live in a world? If Peter's church was struggling and dealing with internal conflict, internal false teachers, let's not make the mistake of thinking that we're going to be exempt from that. This message is very much for us, especially in a day and age where we have access to so much, so many other voices and noises out there that sound pretty good, but they're off a little bit. So this week, rebuild your rhythm, the rhythm of your life, with the Word of God. One pillar at a time. Don't just skim through the Scriptures. Slow down. Breathe it in. Allow the Holy Spirit to percolate that word in your heart and in your mind and make that connection. Make that connection. Choose one portion of Scripture this week. This is this week's assignment, if you will. Yeah, school's out for summer, but this is this week's assignment. Choose one portion of Scripture this week. Maybe a psalm, maybe a gospel story, and sit down and ask, what is God revealing about himself in this passage? And then how does that steady me for this day, for my journey right now? How does that root or steady my foundation? And then secondly, test the foundation of your worldview. Pay attention to the voices that are shaping you. Are they rooted in truth or just floating abstracts or trends? Ask, is this opinion built on the gospel? Would this belief, this opinion that I've been listening to, would it stand the test of the fire? Culture is constantly changing. Stand on the pillars of God's truth. Band, why don't you come on up? And let's close. And as we're closing, I want to pray with you, church. And my desire that is for each one of us that as we leave here today, we would remember the words of 2 Peter, that you and I, we will do well to pay attention to the prophetic word as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Let's pray. Church, my prayer is that we would go now with hearts that are illuminated by the light of God's word, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the morning star, and with lives shaped with the Holy Spirit who carried the Scriptures to us. Oh God, would you help us to under, Holy Spirit, would you help us to grasp the power that is available to us to walk in victory. May the God of truth make you steadfast. May the grace of Christ make each one of you, make us bold, and be a light to the world. Be a light of the word that is given to others. May it light every step in our journey. And we pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen, amen.